Welcome to worship on this first Sunday in July. My, a half a year has gone by already. Hard to believe that. It's just great to see everybody this morning. You all managed the time change, didn't you? That's great. I felt a little rushed. And you know, at 7:30, 8 o'clock coming in here, it's kind of dark. But of course, this morning it was kind of cloudy and misty. But we have been really thankful for the rain this past week. We have been blessed, and the lawns and the crops are looking so much better. Now, this is a special Sunday, special for several reasons. Of course, we have Pastor Linda with us to bring us her message and to serve us communion. And communion is always special. And we have a holiday this week on Tuesday, July 4th. The United States is Independence Day. And I hope that you all get to celebrate in a special way, and you have time to reflect on what the independence of our country means, and what our forefathers, what the Continental Congress set up in 1776, that's still with us today, and we are still a free nation after 247 years. And let us hope and pray we remain free and one nation under God. Any other announcements? Well, remember, next week, our new pastor, Reverend Roberta Cook, will be with us to begin her ministry with us. So let's come out and support her. Also, remember, it's still at 9:30 next week. We'll be at that for a while. And it would probably be a good idea if we wore our name tags, too, so she can get to know who we are. So at this time, we will start our service with our call to worship. It's unison. Let us worship God as children with wonder and awe. Let us worship God as youth with questions and eager hearts. Let us worship God as adults with gratitude and praise. Let us worship God as elders with wisdom and hope. Let the body of Christ sing praises to God today and always. Amen. At this time, let us go to our Lord in prayer. Dear God, we come to worship today, just as we are, your people, with all our cares, worries, problems, aches, and pains. You know what we are going through. Help us remember that you are a kind, loving, and forgiving God that we can always turn to. Lord, be with us today in our service. May it be a delight to you, and may it strengthen us, uplift us. We ask all this in your precious name. Amen.
Good morning again. Good morning. Good to see you all out there. It's so nice to have all these visitors. I love it. Some of our people are gone elsewhere, so we're glad you're here to fill the pews and hear our message that Pastor Linda Sproul is going to give to us today. So we thank her for coming, and her husband Lou with her. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do come today with joy and thankfulness in our hearts for so many of your blessings. A joy to be here together with you in our presence. A joy to send off our first camper of the year. We pray for Tucker and all the leaders and workers at camp, And it's a joy of thankfulness to know that you are with the sick and hurting people that have been lifted up to you today. A joy of thankfulness for the rains we've been receiving. A joy of thankfulness for freedom and all of the people who worked and sacrificed to make us a free country, and all those who are still sacrificing to keep us free. Most of all, Lord, we are thankful for your sacrifice that frees us from sin if only we call on your name. It is with thankfulness and appreciation that Linda has come to give us your message today. Please continue to be with us as we sing praises to you and hear your word. Amen. So if the ushers will come forward, we will have our gifts and offerings today. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we know that there's much work to be done, far more than we could do without you by our side. We ask that you bless these gifts, that they be used for the work that you have set before us, for we place our lives and trust in you. Amen.
Well, you know what they say about a bad penny. I'm back. You know, about a month ago, I finished up serving a church for a year, just filled in. And that Sunday when I left that church, I said, "Thank you, Jesus. I'm retired." Now, I retired from here in 2017, I think it was. That week, I got a call from Sandy. "Would you come to Oxford?" "Well, of course I'll come to Oxford." The next week, I got a call from Kenlin. "Would you come to Kenlin for a couple of Sundays?" So, and I said yes. And so, I am retired. The song we just sang, I want to read a couple of scriptures that I found. See how they fit. The song we just sang is an introit. God claims the earth and everything in it. God claims the world and all who live on it. And the other one that I found was, clap your hands. Now, some of you did, but some of you stood there like good Methodists and kept your hand at your side. Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with songs of joy. Well, welcome to our service this morning. And if you've looked at the bulletin, you might have noticed the word hands appears a few times, because I want to talk to you about your hands and mine. And I want to give a disclaimer. Most all of you here know that my left hand doesn't work like my right hand because I'm a polio survivor. So some of the things I say, I can't do. But that's okay, because I can find other ways to get around that. I have a riddle for you, and a little later in the service, I'll give you the answer. The riddle is this. It sounds really simple. 10 fingers on your two hands. How many fingers on 10 hands? I'm going to tell you two reasons. And that's it. You'll get the answer later. I'm going to give you two reasons why I'm focusing on hands, and one of them will come later. Sounds like I'm saying you got to stick around, doesn't it? Later, later, later. And the first story I want to tell you is not particularly a happy story, but it's something that has haunted me. About 6 months ago, I was at the mall, and there was a lady walking in front of me who had on prostheses on both legs. And my heart just kind of dropped, and she was fairly, I would guess, maybe 40s. I don't know. I'm not very good at that. And I'm drawn to people like that, so I tapped her on the shoulder, and I talked to her a few minutes, and I said, "You do a really good job with those prostheses." And when she turned around to talk to me, both arms were amputated. Sepsis is what happened to her. And I assume it was her husband with her, and he says, yes, 2 years ago, she couldn't have been in a store at all. I left that experience, and it has literally haunted me, thinking about that lady. And I have asked God, and he hasn't listened to me yet, but I want to cross paths with her again. I just want to talk to her. We talked a few minutes in the middle of the aisle, but she's been on my mind ever since. And my thinking is not what she can't do, but I think about what can she do. Her arms were amputated at the shoulder. No arms, no legs. Hands. We're going to talk about your hands. And we're going to talk about the Bible, God's hands. First of all, I want you to look at your hands. Now get those hands out there and look at them. Look at all the wrinkles and all, not everybody has wrinkles. Some of you don't know what the wrinkles in hands look like, but I'll show you after church. Look at your hands, not at me. Look at your hands, turn them over, smell them. We see calluses. I'll bet. Where's Larry? Does he leave church? Oh, there he is. Oh, he is a big glare. That's all I can see. It must be his halo. Do you have any calluses, Larry?
Not as many as
he used to. Okay, well, some of us have misshapen fingers because of arthritis. Some of us have nice, slender, nice hands like this row. Probably that whole row. Well, not you, Kelly. You. I have to tell you, Pastor Kelly's with this group is my pastor where I go to church. So I told her, aha, you have to listen to me today. First thing I want you to do is I want to talk to you about the anatomy of your hands. And I want you to realize, now I've done some research here, and I guess I'm going to be close in numbers here, but let me tell you something about your hands. You have in your hands 27 bones. You have in your hands 27 joints. You have 6 muscles in each finger. You have 100 ligaments and tendons. You have 3 different kinds of nerves in your hands. You have 2 kinds of blood vessels in your hands. And you have, those nerves are sending signals to your brain right now as you sit there. Your hands, the nerves in your hands are sending signals to your brain. Isn't that fascinating? Who says God is not the creator? Who says that? Wow. Praise God for hands, right? Wave your hands. Be a Baptist. Come on, be a Baptist. By the way, the answer to the riddle is 50. Oh, there's one guy that got it, he says. No more comments.
I never could figure it out anyway.
I want to turn to the scripture. According to what I read, and I read this several times, in the scripture, the word hand appears 1,466 times. 1,466 times. And the word hands, plural, appears 462 times. Now, I honestly didn't take the time to look all those up. But if any of you choose to do that and bring me the list, I will take you to dinner. Okay? Someplace, sometime. 1,466 times the word hand appears in the Bible. Does that mean it's important? Evidently. Evidently. It's a... In the Bible, when you see the word hands, it's going to mean it may be strength, it may be hospitality, like lend me a hand, we use that expression. But basically it has to do with authority. God's hand is a hand of authority. The question is, why did God give us two hands? Think how much more we could do in your garden, Teresa, if you had four hands on each wrist. What if you only had one hand? I just saw an article. I got to go back and look at this. Since I'm have limitations, the name of the article is Clapping with One Hand. Has anybody ever seen that? Have you seen somebody that can clap with one hand? Charlotte, was that you that said yeah? No, that's not the point. No, this is kind of fascinating because my claps are kind of quiet. And there was an exercise that you do there, and you can train your good hand to clap all by itself. It's very complicated. And actually, it had to do with bending your fingers back and going this direction. So someday when you're really bored, like tomorrow, unless you're going on a picnic, but it's a long weekend for those of us that don't have parties to go to. But if you look that up, and maybe you can demonstrate for Roberta, your pastor Berta, how you can clap with one hand. I just think that's pretty amazing. And for those of you that didn't clap during this, well, you should have been clapping. How could you stand there and not clap? But anyway, 1,466 times the word hand appears in the Bible, in the scripture. What I want to do is I've picked out a few scriptures here that I want to share with you and just very briefly focus on the theme of the scripture. The first one is from Isaiah, and the theme of it is the hands of God and comfort. And the scripture says, "For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you." That expression, hold your right hand, I use that frequently in a funeral for someone who has died unexpectedly. And the family will feel like they were guilty because they weren't present. But I read that scripture that God will hold your hand. The second one I'm going to read has to do with praising God. Now, you'll have to admit that the sanctuary here in the Methodist Church and the sanctuary in the Baptist Church, when we praise God, are entirely different. How many Baptists we have in here? Yeah. Would you agree with that, Shirley, and that the Baptist sanctuary really rips out and rolls? Well, but here's what the scripture says. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. I read you that as a Methodist. Here's another one about praising God. I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. See, it's okay. It's okay if you raise your hands during worship, during prayer, during song. And the last one is the most well-known scripture with the word hands. Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." I want to share with you something that I have used at funerals quite a bit, and maybe you've been at one of them where I've used it. It's called Grandma's Hands. And it's for those younger people, this will speak to you differently than to me, because my grandmother's been gone for years, but here's Grandma's hands. Grandma, some 90 years old, sat feebly on the patio bench. She didn't move. She just sat with her head down, staring at her hands. Well, I sat down beside her. She didn't even acknowledge my presence, and the longer I sat there, I wondered if she was okay. Finally, not wanting to disturb her, but wanting to check on her at the same time, I asked her, "Grandma, are you okay?" And she raised her head, looked at me, and smiled. "Oh, yes, I'm fine. Thank you for asking." "Well, I didn't mean to disturb you, Grandma, but you were just sitting there staring at your hands, and I wanted to make sure you were okay." She looked at me and asked, "Have you ever looked at your hands? Really looked at your hands?" Well, I slowly opened my hands and I stared down at them. I turned them over, palms up and palms down. No, I guess I had never really looked at my hands, as I tried to figure out what in the world was she talking about. Well, Grandma smiled and related this story. Stop and think for a moment about the hands you have, how they have served you throughout your years. These hands, though wrinkled, shriveled, and weak, have been the tools I have used all my life to reach out and grab and embrace life. They braced and caught me when I fell as a toddler, crashed to the floor. These hands put my food in my mouth and clothes on my back. As a child, my mother taught me to hold them in prayer. These hands tied my shoes and pulled on my boots. They held my husband and wiped my tears when he went off to war. They've been dirty, scraped, raw, swollen, and bent. They were uneasy and clumsy when I tried to hold my newborn son. Decorated with my wedding band, they showed the world that I am married and love someone special. These hands wrote letters to him and trembled and shook when I buried my parents and spouse. These hands have held my children, my grandchildren, consoled neighbors, and shook in fists of anger when I didn't understand. These hands have covered my face, combed my hair, washed and cleansed the rest of my body. They've been sticky and wet, bent and broken, dried and raw. And to this day, when not much of anything else of me really works well, these hands hold me up. These hands lay me down. And these hands continue to fold in prayer. These hands are the mark of where I've been and the ruggedness of life. But more importantly, it will be these hands that God will reach out and take when he leads me home. And with my hands, he will lift me up to his side, and there I will use hands to touch the face of Jesus. Well, I will never look at my hands the same again. But I remember God reached out and took my grandma's hands and led her home. When my hands are sore and hurt, or when I stroke the face of a child or my husband, I think of Grandma. I know she has had a stroke, and she's caressed and held the hands of God. I, too, want to touch the face of God and feel his hands upon my face. The second reason I'm speaking about hands is because today's communion. And I realize that over the years that I've been pastor, one of the meanings for me at communion is when someone comes and reaches out to pick up the element. Maybe you've never thought about that. But as I stand and hold the bread, and with your hands, you reach out and bring it back. It's like you're reaching out, knowing that God is a part of that. That's what communion is about. It's not about the bread and juice. It's about your opportunity to reach out to Him and His opportunity to reach out to you. So those are the two reasons that I call to your attention today, your hands. And I hope that this week, sometime during the week, whatever you may be doing, all of a sudden you'll recall the blessings of being created with two hands. Not four, Teresa. He's limited you. At this time, we will move into our communion liturgy. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on the earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, his death, and his resurrection, you gave birth to your church. You delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself for us, he took the bread. He gave thanks to you, then he broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so this morning, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as holy and a living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of the bread and the cup. Make them for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Will you join me with the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for amen. So as Pam and I serve the elements, as you reach to receive them, maybe it'll have a little different meaning for you today as we each will receive those. So Pam, you come and help. When you feel that you're ready to come to the table, you are welcome. It's been a good morning. I hope the rest of your day is a blessing. And as Teresa said early, keep in mind how grateful we are to live in these United States. Happy birthday.